The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 14th of September, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you of Inland Revenue. And I have a brief message to start the show about the Public Procurement Act. Did you know that the Public Procurement Act took effect September 1st, 2021? And suppliers and vendors interested in doing business with the government will have to register on the electronic procurement platform in order to bid on jobs. Register your business today at suppliers.gov.bs. That's suppliers.gov.bs. If you need help registering your business on the e-procurement portal, contact the help desk at 604-1049 or 604-1056. This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Well, good yawning this morning. It is Tuesday, the 14th of September, 2021, which means we have two days, including today, till general election 2021. I want to say to my guests, to my texters yesterday, a weird thing happened on the way to the Coliseum, actually at the very end of the show. I got about 10 or 12 texts that came in as the show ended, and I wasn't able to read those texts, but I just want you to know what happened to those texts. It's like they came in a block, right? In a block of about 11 or 12 texts all at one time, and that is why I was unable to read your texts on the show yesterday. And for that, I apologize. And to the texter that, you know, made me, please give the audience some time to speak. I appreciate that. I want you to know that I really appreciate that. And like all things, it's a balancing act, right? It's a balancing act. I appreciate the frustration, though, of citizens and voters who, in the midst of a political strategy that seems not to regard them very much, they've been excluded from the process of governance and the process of politics and choosing, you know, who's going to govern us. They haven't been given enough time to assess the central issues and to engage other citizens about them, to engage candidates and party members about them, and then to sit with that new information, right? And to reason again on it. The voter has not been given enough time at all to consider this weighty decision that is before them. And so I want you to know that I appreciate that feeling. I appreciate wanting, desiring, demanding a space be carved out for you, the citizen, a space be made for you, that you're permitted to speak, that your voice is heard. And not just by politicians. Sometimes we think it's, you know, the most important thing is that the politician hears our voice, when in fact, the most important thing is that we hear each other. You know, that's what it is that we hear each other. See, we haven't been listening. We haven't been listening to each other. We haven't heard when citizens complain about treatment at public health care facilities, or when nurses and doctors moan and complain. And I mean, like, real moan, like when you stub your toe moan because you're actually injured moan, about the lack of resources, the lack of engagement by decision makers and management, right? It's more important that we listen to each other in this process of politics and governance than it is to listen to the politicians. In fact, you know, you don't need a political party for an election. You don't. You just need candidates. And the country was run for a long time by independents. All of a sudden, we act as if it's not possible for that to happen. I think it's really important that we begin to shift or change the types of conversations that we have about politics and governance, about the way that we choose the people who are going to represent us. And I just think, you know, I think it's important for Bahamians to understand that you still have the agency, the power, and control. You can really shape the way that politics operate in your country. So I got a text here. When are we going to get sense? People who don't feel or haven't experienced your pain can't make decisions to ease your pain. Coalition of Independence for a Brighter Bahamas. It's a nice text. We got to stop electing people that do not understand empathy, do not understand the role of empathy in governance at a national level. Good morning, Coalition of Independence. I see you there. I see you talking about these natural resources. I see that story in yesterday's paper about the salvage operation. Israeli firm finds $1 billion treasure wrecks. An underwater exploration group says it has detected 13 shipwrecks. Won a $1 billion find in Bahamian waters, with the government having quietly given a salvage license to another operator. See, I wanted to talk about that yesterday too, but my text reminded me I wasn't giving you all enough time. What an important story. When was this license granted? Was anybody ever going to tell us? Were we going to have a say in the decision? Is this what the governance and transparency, honesty, and accountability looks like? Is this what governance in the 21st century looks like? Wow, it's just fascinating. My show today, my guest is Mr. Tate Adley. Tate Adley is a member of ORG, Organization for Responsible Government. And Tate joined me last week, a week before last, with another member of the organization, Matt Aubrey, to talk about the organization's project, the Bahamas Pre-Election Handbook, Snap Election Edition 20. And so Tate was in Grand Bahama, And due to a little technical difficulties with the Zoom room, he wasn't able to participate fully in the conversation. But I'm glad to have him back this week and today, just before the election, so we can take a look at the pre-election handbook, but also so we could sort of focus the conversation on youth voters, youth participation in politics and governance, and voter disenfranchisement from youth perspective. I got a caller on the line, so before I get to my guest, let me take this caller. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, morning, Aaron.
Hey, morning. How you do?
And good morning to your guest. I didn't mean to while before you did your guest introduction.
No, it's good.
But I just want to encourage everyone in this country, whether it's in Inagua in the south and Grand Bahama in the north, let's have a fair and let's have a decent, respectable election. Someone has to win and someone has to lose. So I ask my Bahamian people to act sensible. I use that word with the greatest respect to my people. I don't care what your national, your preference of life is, but when you go to vote, act respectable and show the world that Bahamian people, whether it's a snap election or it's 5 years, that we can conduct ourselves without being uprising and violent or whatever. So let's just conduct ourselves and vote for the person of our choice. But I want to say this, Ms. Green.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to, and I'm glad you have those gentlemen on the radio talk show. Something with the Prime Minister. And Ms. Green, you know, we living in a sad, sad country. When you look at Abaco in particular, which was devastated, And you know, you're not talking about relief for the people in Abaco who was mentally traumatized and in some sense he never even catch themselves back from 2019. All coming out of your mouth is PLP, Brave Davis, PLP, Brave. And I mean it. I mean, Ms. Green, you know, I'm not bashing what the Prime Minister, whoever his people might say, but it's distasting. I mean, I talk to F&Ms, they are so tired of it. They want to know where we go in Ms. Green.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And Ms. Green, you know, I can leave you with this. I had to go by the PLP headquarters not too long ago. And Ms. Green, if you ride there when you go out from the Guardian, if you see the line of people lining up for food assistance or help, Ms. Green, if you have love in your heart, love in your heart for people, you got to feel that. And I don't care if you're a PLP, F&M, Coalition, DNA, we are, persons in this country are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we need some sort of relief. And I pray to God that God could give Mr. Davis and his team the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding to help these people. This ain't no party time. The hospital don't have no beds. People are sleeping on the side of the road. Basically corridors in the hospital. People need help. And I ask every Bahamian person in this country, take off your political lens and look at, see how you just passed Farrington Road by the PLP headquarters,
mm-hmm,
and see the people them in the fancy cars who are hurting. This ain't no joke.
Thank you, DeWitt. Thank you. You have a great day as well, DeWitt. And I hope people feel the warmth of your passion and your commitment and beyond party colors. You know, I really appreciate that. Boy, so much money being spent on an election. So much money being spent on an election in the midst of government agencies decrying that they ain't got no money to do the things that they already committed to doing, that they were already allocated funds to do. So much money being spent on elections, on poster boards and billboards and bags. Not school bags, you know, not tote bags, you know, on bags with party logos on it. If you want to impress me, go beg Cassius Stewart to turn his company that makes diapers and I think or feminine hygiene and pads, go buy a billion pads and tampons from Cassius and put your party logo on it and give it to women on the family islands and impoverished women and young girls who can't go to school or can't leave their home because they don't have feminine hygiene protection in during the pandemic in the state of emergency. That's you impress me? Do that. You want to impress me? Ask me if I think the PLP can win or the FNM can win or the Coalition of Independence can win. Ask me if the Bahamian people can win. You ask me why I spoil my ballot, all the people. And it's your rights. I really don't have a problem with it. I encourage you to continue to do it if you don't agree with, you know, any position I have. Text in, call in, and let me know, right? Let's not beat each other up over it, but you could let me know. If you a politician and you're not speaking about how the Bahamian people will win this election, if you can't look at me and tell me the sacrifices your party will make after they win to ensure the Bahamian people win, right? If you're not prepared to do that, you're not impressing me at all. And that's why I'm still inclined to spoil my ballot. You had 5 years to impress me. Call you on the clock.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Listen, you know, it's so sad in this day when the prime minister saying he's trying to come on and tell the Bahamian people, but he is sorry. Asking for apology.
Pause. 1 second. He didn't address the Bahamian people. See, when he does his national address, he say, my fellow Bahamians and residents, right? He spoke directly to the FNMs.
Yes, and they was on. He just happened to his rally night before last. You know, this is terrible. So you just remember now that you have done wrong to the Bahamian people. Who tell you going to do anything?
Listen, you keep making this mistake. He never apologized to the Bahamian people. He spoke specifically to FNMs.
Okay. He talked specifically to the FNM. Then he said in the House Assembly, this is not your time. Next time, that's May 2022, which is supposed to be an election next year, would have been our time. Okay. You look around to every polling station in this Bahamas right now. The FNMs that have already paid for every tent from Monday to Thursday morning. Every party van they done paid for. Cars been paid for. Park up underneath those tents. You can tell me that's our money. They the Bahamian people money. Would you take our money to go spend for foolishness?
Now, technically,
people are hungry.
Technically, we don't know if that's our money. Technically, we don't know if that's our money. But here's what I'm more concerned about. How you find all that money to put up tent and chair and thing when only 5 people are authorized to campaign, right? But you couldn't find any chairs to line up for senior citizens and disabled people to manage the long wait?
Listen to me. The people in this country, I've been on the ground. The people in this country are hungry. They are in need. People lose their jobs from last year. People ain't working. You could tell me you got paid for tents from Monday to Thursday morning. And that money couldn't be to help the poor people. Then on top of it, they say, okay, they telling the people them who have COVID to be able, they could vote. I don't have a problem with that. But all of that money, what they collecting, they need to go and put Lysol spray, 5 can of Lysol spray in every one of those classrooms so people could be able to spray out the area when the people then vote.
Absolutely.
This government, they failed the Bahamian people.
Thank you very much. I have to go. And thank you for that sound advice. I'm very... I'm surprised at the lack of critical thinking and attention to detail that is out there. Okay, I'm going to get to let's get to this next caller. Caller, you on the clock.
Godly ladies, Dark and the Voice, along with you, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm holding, thank God. You know what I've been thinking, right? I've heard of it, right?
Yes.
The thing is, all the parties, right? They give out like a bunch of cans, stuff with a bunch of lead in it, help contributing to the Bahamian demise. The thing is, what is bugging me with the whole situation is our money, and we should be getting better food. Of course, I won't put in for any of those stuff because I know better. But the thing is, it's our money. The people, the Bahamian people, should be eating better than that. And not only that, when it's not, I'll go along with those cans because it's what you call those, oh Lord, those things like spaghetti would be in the paper. What do you call that?
Say that again?
They give you also those stuff like spaghetti would be in the paper. They're not spaghetti. You call them something else. And rice and stuff like a bunch of starch. And man, give the people decent food. It's our money.
Thank you, Brayman. Thank you. And that's another central part of my, I want to say distaste, my deepest concerns with this political culture. The politicians continue to act as if they're doing us a favor by spending our money on their choices, but by their decisions. Money. And if we're going to go into debt using it, then give us better play for our money. Callers, I got to beg you to hold the line. Got to go to a break. When we come back from a break, I'm going to get you. In fact, Kermit, let's get to that one red caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Very quickly. How you do?
Hi, good afternoon.
Good morning. Boy, you've been
good
up
morning.
From 3 a.m.
Good morning. Sorry. Yeah, I'm speeding. I want election hurry up and finish.
Yes, sir.
Well, then, Ms. Green, listen, people seem to have high expectations from this government with respect to how they set up the polling station and what is placed in the polling station for the Bahamian people. But what have this government ever gave the small man in this country? I mean, now, I'm sure if you go down to a polling station somewhere down there where Life of Key or where the Eastern Road is supposed to vote, I'm sure you may have, you know, a case of Lysol in there and sanitizers and everything else. But where the small man has to vote in this country, this government has no concern. People expected them to do so much different or so much better, but yet they're coming to the Bahamian people and they're asking them to give them another 5 years. I tell you what, I will give you another 5 years when you tell me what you have done as a government to empower me as a citizen and to educate me as a citizen in this country. When you can tell me what you have done and to keep my business open and to keep me from breaking up my car on these holy roads, when you can tell me what you have done to benefit me as a citizen in this country, I'll consider giving them another 5 years. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's a really interesting point. And I bet you they have done a couple of things. You know, I'm sure they've done some things. But what's true is that the people who are responsible for government communications don't think it necessary to communicate that, to disseminate that information, to share it. It's almost as if the things that we do for poor people are of no real value or of importance to governance. But they got it wrong. And I think you got your finger on the pulse, caller. That's my music. It's time to go to a break. When we get back, I'm going to bring in my guest from Organization for Responsible Government, Mr. Tate Adley. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Have you heard about the COVID vaccine raffle? If you are vaccinated against COVID-19, you can enter to win amazing prizes like food store gift certificates, hotel stays, beach excursions, and so much more. Even if you are previously vaccinated, you can still enter to win. The COVID vaccine is free, safe, and protects you from severe COVID-19 infections. Don't delay. Get vaccinated today and enter to win. Visit www.baxbahamas.com to register.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Census 2021 for your family line. You better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rocks are 242. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy to go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Census 2021. This one's for everyone.
We're going faster. Oh,
let's take a ride.
Oh, we're fast.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. As we start the show, I just got a couple of little quick housekeeping notes. Please don't forget to pick up your copy of today's Nassau Guardian so you can get your election tally sheet. Pick up three copies, one for your mummy, one to cheat on, and one for the proper tally. Get your election tally sheet today from the Nassau Guardian. Pick up a couple of extra copies for your neighbors. It's time to shift the political culture. Get the family involved in it. Make it a fun experience. Make participation in politics for young people fun too. Familiarize them with the candidates. Make it a little game, right? Because it's important for them, even at that young age, to understand their importance as a citizen and their role in governance. Also, another important shout-out this morning, I get to send a shout-out to Mr. Bullard, the most polite and conscientious man in the Bahamas. This boy in the road and trying to tell me to let my car go. He letting my car go past, and I trying to let him, the pedestrian, go past. And this boy is like, listen, you even if you drive in a car, you as a woman, I can let you go first. Anyway, I want to say good morning to Mr. Bullard. I hope he is tuned in, and I hope you're having a great day. And another quick shout-out. I can't believe I forgot it. Can't forget it no more. I want to say happy anniversary to my sister and her wonderful, amazing husband, Serge Lambert. They've been together for 20 years. It's just amazing. It is wonderful. It is beautiful. It is fantastic. And I want to say congratulations to you guys. I want to say to my brother-in-law, boy, look here, she have a big forehead. And you've been loving it for 20 years, and for that, we could never let you go. So happy anniversary, Corey and Serge. And happy anniversary to my two nephews, Aiden and Makani, you know, and blessings upon your family and forevermore. Anyway, thank you for giving me that little space to do that. Good morning, Mr. Adley. How are you?
Hello, Aaron. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
All right, great. How are you? I'm good.
Good, good. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm a bit nervous for Thursday. I think from the strong sentiment against Dr. Minnis. But, you know, given the circumstances, I still can't be 100% sure who's going to win this election and what that means after this.
Right.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, especially for young people, how you said that, yeah, there is a strong sentiment against Minnis rising, right? And from various sectors. For various reasons, but from the youth perspective, does that negative sentiment always translate to a loss of votes or a negative impact in the booth?
Yeah, so right now, I think a lot of young people like myself are very cynical. Mm-hmm. And so, you know how we talked about 3 years ago that, you know, young people were going to be the largest voting bloc. In this upcoming election, right? But unfortunately, there were a lot of young voters that did not register by choice. And then there were a bunch of them that were thrown off because of the calling of a snap election. And so I think it does translate into loss of votes in the booth. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, no matter who wins, the sentiment is always what's going to change at the end of the day. So I think that's a sentiment that is live and living today.
All right. Now, do you think, it's obvious that with the calling of the snap election and the way that the major opposition have responded to it by not challenging the state to and change the date, do you think the snap election was called to disenfranchise young voters? Do you think that the FNM is reading on the ground that young voters are not supporting them, and so this was an attempt to sort of gerrymander the vote by changing the date, by calling a snap election?
Yeah, so I've seen discussions on that. But my question would be, how would they be able to determine that calling a snap election to disenfranchise voters will be able to help them in the long run? So that's the question I want to ask, right? Mm-hmm. How would they be able to quantify and understand or confirm that that if those voters are disenfranchised, then they could possibly have a favorable outcome at the polls? That's my curiosity about that.
Right. How would they know how the votes fall?
Yeah, it could be a possibility, but you know, there's no sure way to know that they will favor them in the long run.
Right. I mean, there is a possibility. You intensify your voter drive. You really focus and you spend money and resources on getting your torchbearer's arm and young people who you think are going to vote for you. You try to mobilize them, and then you try to get your people on the ground outside the parliamentary registration stations to get a sense of how many PLPs and FNMs are actually coming to register, you know, and are listening to the political chatter. Because it with all the offhand statements being put out there by the Prime Minister about when, you know, fixed election dates, when are you going to call the election and these things, we had Wells saying only one man knows. And I wonder if these politicians were making these statements as feelers, right? Because the statements were poorly crafted and sort of ludicrous in some senses. And they're putting them out there as feelers to get a sense of how, you know, whether people feel motivated to go and register and to push people to register. I just think it's such a big risk of disenfranchising youth voters by calling the snap election. What do you think?
So I agree. I mean, I think looking back now, you always say that hindsight is 2020, right? The things that they were doing, right? So, like, I think it was last year, the end of last year, they had amended Parliamentary Elections Act, right?
You said they amended the Parliamentary Elections Act?
Yes.
Okay.
And so they added a permanent voters registry,
right,
and changed it from Kenya registry. And then they changed some different things as well, such as an electronic voters card. But I think looking back, there were some definite signs, you know, really indicated that, hey, this is going to happen, right?
The early election.
Right. Sorry? But, you know, how do you recognize those? Well, let me say, as a young person, you know, I think it's impossible or difficult to recognize those signs, right?
How do you discern between what is policy statement and what is political rhetoric?
Right. So it's really a lot, but I think on that note, I mean, there were a lot of signs looking back, but me as myself, I wasn't able to register myself in time. But looking back, there were a lot of signs, but...
So you were a first-time voter, Tate?
Yes, I wasn't able to vote in 2017. I was 17 in 2017, so yeah.
And so let me, if I could, use your personal experience for a moment. Imagine that. One of the young people working the hardest on electoral reform, working to ensure, like the Parliamentary Registration Department's mission statement says, to guarantee every eligible citizen equal rights and access to the electoral system in determining who should govern the country. Like, you one of these by them working hard to ensure that everybody could vote, and you end up not being able to vote because of the snap election.
Right.
And I want to make this note to people who are saying that, you know, election was coming, you should have just registered. First of all, like Tate, Mr. Adley pointed out just now, there were so many amendments to the Parliamentary Registration Act that maybe people were waiting for a definitive and clear statement from the government as to what to expect and what is expected from them, the voter, the citizen, to participate in this process. It just seems like utter nonsense to tell people, well, you should have been registered. And how is that resonating with young people?
Yeah, so I think overall, I think it shows a lack of care. Yeah, I think it shows a lack of care, right? Because, like I said, hindsight is 2020, and it's difficult to really understand what is being said. So when we have the opposition saying, oh, when an election is coming, register to vote, and the prime minister is telling us, hey, oh, no, I only know when election is called. Election is not due until next year. So it shows that there is a lack of care for the opinions of young persons and a lot of other persons that were unable to vote. So persons like who just became citizens of the Bahamas, like my stepmother, she just became a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, she's unable to vote because, you know, of the snap election.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Again, for the segment of the show that's called Why I'm Still Inclined to Spoil My Ballot, that's one of the reasons, right? It's as if all of the decisions about when this election would be called are factored for political reasons, right? Like, it's just politicians concerned about winning an election and nothing to do about the needs of the people who are at the center of the electoral process and need to vote. So, Tate, I got some texts here. Are you ready for some texts?
No problem. I can. Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. So, I got a text here that says, the gentleman's question is easily answered. It's not just about speculation. It's called data. Every advanced country and company makes... You sample data and then you strategize based on the results. Thank you, texter. Another text, morning. How come when the government who's in power always come with promises and didn't fill the ones they promised before? And on the other hand, the next party who's promising Jesus Christ on the cross just to get in the seat so they can say, I beat you. Oh, okay, I didn't get the last of that text.
I don't understand what the text is saying.
Well, I think that the text is saying, I imagine the text is saying, are we tired of all of these empty promises? And what are we going to do to make politicians and candidates live up to their promises or be accountable for the promises that they made? I imagine that's what the text is talking about, Tate.
So what I find interesting that is happening, I think it's today or either tomorrow, is the governorship of California, right?
And so, can you turn up your volume for me, Tate?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
So what I find interesting is what's happening in California right now, especially with the recall election, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the apparatus of government that we have now, there aren't enough levers and systems that really puts the people on par with the government, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that was counterpart paramount in Minnesota administration's manifesto for 2017 was an MP recall system, right? And so in these 4.5 years, we have not seen that. But I think in order to keep the government accountable, I think we need more procedures and legislation that really empowers people to keep the government accountable. So we talk about the Freedom of Information Act, the MP recall system, term limits, and other stuff like that.
Absolutely. And those are the things that young people are not just hoping for, that's what they expect, right? Like, that should be basic. That should be a part of the basic package at this point.
Right.
Absolutely. And so, go on.
Yeah, and so, yeah, for me personally, transparency is a big thing. And I think that's one of the things that I don't want to say we have not seen from this administration.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that they have made some strides with certain things. Let's say like the public procurement bill, and you have the e-tender registry.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things that they aren't really keeping up with, such as the Freedom of Information Act. Like,
okay.
That legislation has some teeth to me.
Now, I can be honest with you. With that particular issue, I wish we had a whole show to talk about it. With the Freedom of Information Act, I think what we're going to find is this: for this process of implementing this policy and enacting it and sustaining it is not going to be successful until we begin the real work of shifting our cultural space, right? Because we as a people don't believe in the freedom of information. We truly don't. And while in this particular relationship of citizen and government, we see ourselves as having a right, like we see ourselves as having a right to the information, we don't really, really believe in freedom of information. But Tate, I got a caller on the line. Let's get to this caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning to the young Tate. Adelie, this is Berenice Johnson, your frequent caller. You need not have any worry about what will happen, because whoever wins, it's all about one Bahamas development plan that has to be put forward. We must partner with 100% with the United States of America. Like I shared, all my contribution, the intellectual property is still owned by the United States of America federal government, because it was a pilot project to identify the system and the correct to identify the system and to break the cycle. That's the main thing that I shared with you. Do you remember that, Tate?
When was that? Well, it may have been a long time ago.
Berenice, give me the name of the program again.
Yeah.
The Eye-Opener. He.
No, not Tate's program. The pilot program that you're talking about.
The pilot program was to identify the system and break the cycle. I made all of my contributions on their show.
Okay.
When I appeared on the religious month. I think it was in July.
Okay.
Which year was this?
She's gone now.
Okay.
That's cool. But what I like about that, Tate, is you notice the attempt to reach across generations to ensure that young people have the institutional knowledge necessary to carry on the baton, right? To take up the baton and carry on the process of governance. Do young people feel like they are a part of a system that includes them? Do they feel that they are looked at as successors of these islands and of governance?
What do you mean by that?
Well, calling in to ask you if you remember this idea or this, like, this pilot project that she mm-hmm. called into the show to talk about. And if you hear the passion in her voice, right? Like, that's why I wanted to get the name of the project. She didn't tell me what the name was, but she seemed so passionate about it. And I appreciate when people of different generations and older people reach out to young people and say, hey, I'm trying to build this bridge for you to either for you to walk across or for the transference of information. Do young people feel like this culture and this political environment includes them? Older Bahamians are reaching out to them or are creating infrastructure, like political infrastructure or cultural spaces where that is likely to happen? Or do they feel like older Bahamians are holding on to power and anything that they think infuses them with power, like information? Or are they willing to share it like Berenice is willing to share it?
So I think what we can look at to determine that, I mean, based on this election, is the number of young candidates that, you know, were chosen and that are representing these parties. I think that's a good indicator. And looking at them, I think for the PLP especially, that there are a number of youthful faces and new faces. But I think if you could define that for me more, what do you consider as young? Do you say like 18 to 40? Like, is that considered
young
to you?
I think 25 to 30 is the European category of youth. But considering that we have politicians that are running into their 70s, 40 and under for me. Sort of let me put another question to you. Are young candidates, are youth candidates relying on party resources and infrastructure to deliver at the constituency level, or do some of these young candidates have the capacity to deliver on campaign promises and community needs without or with minimal party support?
So I think some of the young candidates, I think it's necessary for them to rely on political support. Because I think one of the main things when it comes to political support is money and funds, right?
So right in that space, are parties, are people in parties, are people in the community sort of reaching out? Okay, are people outside of parties supporting young candidates and helping them to find these resources outside of the party structure? Are people reaching out to young people in that way and giving them a link to resources or sharing resources with them? Or do young people feel like they excluded from these spaces and are running it on their own?
I think it's a little bit of both, right? And so I can think for myself, a number of older persons that, you know, have interacted with the political system have themselves helped me in my life and in the stage where I'm at now. I think for me personally, yes, I can say that I've seen those experiences. But I think for other persons as well, who I've met in this space are being assisted in that way as well. But a good number of it as well, we've seen a lot of young persons that they have to put in their own resources and put in their own hard work. So I think it's a little bit of both. Like, we're being uplifted, but at the end of the day, we're doing majority of the hard work ourselves, because some of us are working in entirely new spaces on trying to present things or think of ideas that are entirely unknown and new to the Bahamas, if you get what I'm saying.
I feel you. So looking at the slate of candidates and all of the young candidates and youth candidates that are out there, do you think that these candidates are offering themselves on their own record, or are they simply saying, vote for me because I'm wearing red?
So,
we don't have much time.
Yes and no. I mean, I think it's more than more on no. But from what I've seen, like, okay, so a candidate like Leslie Bryce, I think she's done a lot of work, a lot of good work in Seabreeze.
Right, but I haven't heard any policy ideas from Leslie Bryce yet. You see what I'm saying? You understand how to be a good MP
right.
at the constituency level, but I still don't know if you understand how to take ideas and needs from the constituency level, turn them into policy at the government level, and then bring them back to the constituency level and implement them.
Yeah, so, and I think that's a problem with our government system as well, right?
So not just young people, but all politicians. People,
yeah. Right. So, you know, I mentioned early in the year on the eye-opener about how there seems to be a lack of understanding of what the job of a real MP is, right? And so when they're talking, they talk about all these great ideas. They're going to build a park in the constituency. They're going to do plenty other things, right? But what about policy? What about, you know, what about legal issues in the country that we need to fix? And there's a lack of that in this conversation, in this election.
Now, let me ask you, is it because the young people that are running haven't developed those ideas yet? Or is it because the parties they're running under have told them, look, this election ain't about ideas. This election is about party colors. And I'm making this note to all of the politicians that obviously had the opportunity to come on the air and speak to the Bahamian people, but for some reason, which is probably political and all to do with their party and not the people, decided not to. But anyway,
yeah,
go on quickly.
Yeah, so from the two major parties, that is, and judging from what they've been doing, what I've seen is that they've had great organization. They organize behind one big message. You know, the PLP talks about a new day, and talk about their economic plan and the economic summits that they do. The FNM talks about, it's about your future. And so I think personally, the candidates themselves, I haven't seen much policy initiatives or ideas from them, but it seems as though the parties are trying to unite behind one message, one plan, instead of individual candidates, you know, giving the ideas and what they want to do.
Absolutely. So, Tate, we're all out of time, and I got to read a number of texts. I got one caller on the clock. Kermit, let's try to give this caller 45 seconds, see what we could do, and then we get to these texts. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, a pleasant good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Is that Tate?
Yes, Tate.
Aaron?
Yes, sir.
Hi, morning, Aaron and Tate. How y'all doing?
Good, good. 45 seconds.
Hello. Okay, great. Tate, my sincere apologies as it relates to what's happening with your stepmom, I think you said. I know she would have been excited to cast her ballot, and she's been denied. But, Aaron, you touched on something so very, very important. You have to have a show where you expand and deepen the conversation surrounding candidates who make appearances on the shows and how they translate the policies into the constituency or at the constituency level. However, I don't think that conversation is a problem on the PLP side because we have a realistic plan which all of our candidates are familiar with and which they know how to dissect into every constituency based upon the needs and tying it back in to the national policy that we will carry out to benefit Bahamians.
Thank you, Anton. That boy, look at you. I know you know how to put it into 45 seconds. I know you could do it. But also, we need to have that show so I could tell you about how the PLP candidate I interacted with was not having as easy a time as you think interacting with me. But I appreciate the vibe. Okay, Tate, I can read these texts dead quick, and then we can sign off the show. Aaron, if this FNM government is interested in our future, they will take that contract for the maintenance of the forts. Okay, I don't know if that's who they gave it to, but from the people they gave it to and hire 100 young men and ladies to use their innovative skills to maintain that function. Another text, Ms. Green, for months I have seen those people at the post office waiting and registering people. The people wasn't turning up. They had a whole year. They had a whole year. The process belongs to us, not to the politicians. People had a whole year before this snap election foolishness. Not just that, the prime minister kept telling people he ain't calling no snap election to turn around and call a snap election. I don't know how y'all treat people who is a female caller said COVID persons are allowed to vote. She should have been corrected. People in quarantine and is a big difference. What needs to be corrected is the government's misunderstanding of its obligations to the people. Now the text, it's not about minutes, it's about country. What about sacrifices for your country? Not one public servant lost their job, but you see them striking and taking advantage of a vulnerable time in our country. It's sad. Some of those people have been striking over issues that have been on the table for over a decade. We will unfortunately continue to flip-flop as a country because we have a corrupt society and mediocrity is the order of the day, and the mindset of the people need to elevate. Some of those people who are protesting about issues that have been on the table for 30 years. 30 years. Good morning, Miss Green. That young man is lost. I'm sorry. Another text. Also, policy don't get you constituency votes. Actually, good governance is what gets you votes. Good governance. Not campaign smears. Not $100 bills wrapped in flags and T-shirts. Not obfuscating the issue, not losing file after file after file, not report investigations and bring them to the public. Good governance, good policies, sustained government action that positively impacts the lives of Bahamians. That's what gets people elected. The FNM's push for free tuition at UB and BTVI indicates that they're investing in our young people. We're going to talk about that, and it's our money. We are paying for it. They're not pushing for it. Another quick text, Aaron, would anybody like minutes? Okay, I can't read that. I don't understand it. I'm sorry, text. So we are at war with the effects of Dorian and the pandemic. Be patriotic. Dear Texter, you hear that music? Well, tomorrow morning, we're going to start the show by responding to to that text. I would like to thank all of my texters and callers. Don't mind my opinion and my response to your text. You keep texting and share what you have to say, and we're going to talk about it. Gotta go. It is 11 a.m. That means it's Levon Miller's time, and Unleash is up next. So I know you guys are going to have a great day. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk, all day. Thank you to my producer, Kermit. Have a great day, Bahamas.